The words given to us today is Luke chapter 23, verses 1 to 12. New Testament, page 137. Luke, page 23, verses 1 to 12. Allow me to read the words. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found..." Excuse me. "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been waiting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Amen. The biggest reason why our church was founded in the first place was to serve the Korean church and become a channel for spreading the word of God by managing and operating the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and the Korean Christian Martyrs Memorial Hall. And as long as we accept this as our calling to cultivate these two sites as the foundation of the Korean Protestantism and to continue on the faith and the spirit of the 100 years of Korean Christianity, and to pave the way for the 200th anniversary of Christianity, we cannot leave where we are standing. The start of the Yanghwajin Foreign Cemetery dates back to 1890 with the burial of the medical missionary Haran. It is said that at the end of the 19th century, it took 3 days to take a ship from the Busan port to the Jaemulpo, the Incheon port. In the late 19th century, when there were no airplanes, it would have taken dozens of days to travel by ship to the US or to the UK. Given this, when an expatriate died in Joseon land, there was no choice but to bury the body in Joseon. This is why most of the missionaries who were martyred on the Korean soil were buried here in Yanghwajin, and as a result, this site became a holy landmark representing the Korean Protestantism. In the beginning, it was registered as the Gyeongsang District American Cemetery Association, or the Seoul European and American Cemetery Association, and when necessary, the British, French, German, Russian, and American ministers would take turns as the chairman and the caretaker of the association. However, due to the outbreak of the Pacific War in 1942, when Korea was under the Japanese colonial rule, its liberation in 1945, and the Korean War, this site was left completely unmanaged and neglected. In 1979, the Korean church elder, Chun Taekbu, visited the site to prevent the Seoul Metropolitan Government's plan to relocate Yanghwajin Cemetery elsewhere for the construction of Subway Line 2. And the elder Chun Taekbu recorded the situation here at the time in the book Yanghwajin Missionary Biography as follows. What was known as the Foreigner Cemetery back in 1979 was a ruined land resembling that of a garbage dump, a place where children were afraid of, and a lonely land that no one cared for. Before and after our church was officially established, there were several cases of unholy incidents that took place on the site, and also an incident where the cemetery was heavily damaged. According to the relevant funeral laws and regulations of Korea, the site did not allow for more bodies to be buried on the site. But even so, graves were sold in advance so that burials could be carried out for financial purposes, and monuments to specific pastors and specific individuals were erected here and there across the Yanghwajin site. Additionally, the cemetery was severely damaged as missionaries seeking economic profits indiscriminately attracted more and more visitors. The Yanghwajin site, which was supposed to be the holy landmark of Korean Protestantism, has been destroyed by people and individuals pursuing their own interests and their own fame. Against this backdrop, in order to ensure that this place is no longer privatized and that it does not become a place to pursue only one's own fame and profit in the name of the Lord, and that it is cultivated once again as the rightful holy landmark, our 100th anniversary memorial church was founded in July 2005, and since then the church has taken great care to protect and care for the site with all their hearts. Since our church began providing free tours of the site in late 2006 to the end of July of 2023, 1 million visitors have paid visits to the Yanghwajin Foreigner Cemetery and the Yanghwajin Hall. Since the conference for the 100th anniversary of Korean Protestant missions was held in 1984, the upcoming 200th conference will be held in 2084. We have 61 years to go. But of course, when the time comes, there will hardly be any commemorative events like the conference for the 100th anniversary where 1 million people have gathered together in a single day. And when that time comes, almost no one, including me, will be there. However, if we faithfully pursue the path that we must run during this time given to us on this earth, the next generation who receive the baton from us will pass on the legacy and run forward on their allotted path and time. And then, without a doubt, the road that our church has taken up until now will become a milestone for the Korean churches going forward. Sometimes, there are those who ask, why does our church have so much money left? Shouldn't we donate more to various mission fields and organizations to keep the church finances to a minimum? If you look at the September 2023 financial statement in the bulletin you received when entering the worship hall, our church has quite a large financial reserve. And you can check these details on the church website as well. From the founding of our church up until now, our church has never planned or dreamt of building a huge chapel so that as many members as possible could worship in one space. So even now, many of our church members come to Hapjeong District and Yanghwajin to worship via video streaming. Likewise, in the future, our church has no plans to build a huge, huge worship hall, and we will not proclaim that that is the church's mission or vision. The Yanghwajin Cemetery being able to remain as it is today, rather than being relocated for the subway construction, is hugely owed to the aforementioned elder Jeon Taek-bu. He continued to write for the denominational newspaper so that Yanghwajin could continue to be well-preserved as the holy landmark. And all of his belongings were donated to our church and are currently being managed by the Yanghwajin Archives. In addition, the relics of the foreign missionary Arthur G. Walbon and the diary and the relics of the missionary Rosetta Sherwood Hall are also managed by the Yanghwajin Archives, as they were entrusted to our church for preservation. So our church has been hoping for a long time to build a compiled library for the Korean churches, including the Yanghwajin Archives. Also, our church's Bible study schools, including the infants and toddlers group, to the elementary school students, currently rents out the Halt building, and we call it the Education Center, where they hold worship services and learn the Word of God. However, the physical space is so small that it's not enough to accommodate the total number of the next generation. And on Sundays when I am not preaching, I greet the children and the parents in front of the education center, and I feel so sorry for the lack of space that I cannot even meet their eyes properly. Above all, those children are the future of our church and the next generation who will continue their calling at Yanghwajin and carry on the legacy. And it seems so contradictory that they give worship on Sundays but cannot even step foot on the Yanghwajin sites when pursuing their lives in faith. So, in the timing that God allows, our church has plans and is praying to build a library, including an archive for the Korean churches and an education center for the future of our church and the next generation who will continue to protect this Yanghwajin Cemetery. The construction cost alone will require at least 2 to 3 times more than the reserve that we currently have. In this building where we are currently holding worship, which is the Yanghwajin Main Worship Hall, was built by our church on contributed acceptance basis on the land owned by Mapo-gu District, meaning that until 2027, we only have to pay for the land use fee and we can use the building for free. The church plans to pay the appropriate payments to continue to use the land, but if the situation does not allow and it changes, then we will also have to prepare for such changes. These are the reasons why our church has what appears to be quite a large finance reserve. As we all know, the church is not a building or an institution, but simply a gathering of people who accepted the Lord as their master. Even if our main church hall only accommodates 500 people, many of our members worship together every Sunday, manage and preserve the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and the Yongin Martyrs Memorial Hall, and also use 50% of our offerings to support institutions and people around the world to let the love of God flow towards them. Building on this legacy, we will continue to carry on the legacy to silently obey in what we have done so far and try to continue to carry on that legacy without collecting offerings for special purposes as much as possible. Because that is the right path that our church must take, and that is what will become the milestone for the future Korean churches. Also, because we believe that following that path means that our church is not pursuing our worldly values or desires, but only following the Word of God. Today's scripture lays bare the stark reality of people who live in pursuit of the worldly values and desires. In the middle of the night, the religious leaders and the crowd illegally arrested Jesus, interrogated him, mocked him, and belittled him, and assaulted him. Then, at daybreak, they officially opened the Sanhedrin Council, which served as the Israel's highest court back then. And then they all took Jesus to Governor Pilate, who was the highest ruler of Judea at the time. Religious leaders and the groups accused Governor Pilate of the existence of Jesus, saying that he deceives the people and disturbs the public sentiment, forbids paying taxes to Emperor Caesar, and above all, claims himself to be the Christ, the King. Of course, all these accusations were all false. If Jesus had actually disrupted the public sentiment and taken collective action to make people refuse to pay taxes to the Roman Empire, there was no way that Pilate, the governor sent by the Roman Empire, would have remained silent until then. So in response to the accusations from the religious leaders and the crowd, Governor Pilate asked Jesus, verse 3 of today's scripture. So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" You have said so, Jesus replied. If you hear about a traitor in a country ruled by a king or an emperor, you have no choice but to investigate and interrogate such claims in depth. This is because the supposed traitor does not recognize the king or the emperor as the highest ruler of the country. Today, the conspiracy to treason can be said to be equivalent to insurrection or rebellion, an act that jeopardizes the existence of the nation and destroys the constitutional order. The reason why Governor Pilate only asked Jesus about the last part of the accusations made against Jesus was because that was the most fatal of all the claims. However, in answering Pilate, Jesus clearly revealed that he was not the king of the earth, but that he was a Christ sent by God, the Messiah. So Governor Pilate spoke to the crowd that accused Jesus and said, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." And Governor Pilate meant this when he said it. But that was where his sincerity ended. Even though Governor Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent, he did not release him. Pontius Pilate was appointed as the fifth governor of Judea by the Roman Emperor Tiberius in 26 AD. At the time, as a Roman emperor's representative, the governor had all political, judicial, and military authority over the jurisdiction. So Pilate had the right to execute the Jews, the power to change the decisions of the Sanhedrin Council, which was the highest decision-making body in Judea, and also the power to appoint and dismiss the high priest. However, Pontius Pilate is recorded as a person who loved to be bribed, rebuked God, and one who ruled unfair sentencing of severe punishment without any legitimate basis. Above all, he clearly knew that Jesus was innocent. However, against the words of the religious leaders and the Jews who said that if Pilate released Jesus, then he will not be considered as a loyal servant to Caesar, Pilate conceded and did not release Jesus in order to keep his current position. He served as the governor of Judea for 10 years, but after being dismissed from his position as governor, it is recorded that he committed suicide while being recalled to Rome, according to a historian named Eusebius. In addition, Christians around the world say his name every time they confess their faith through the Apostles' Creed by saying, "He suffered under Pontius Pilate and was crucified." To this day, Pilate remains one of the most cursed names in the human history. Although he struggled very hard to maintain his position, the truth was that he was completely consumed by his worldly values and desires. Pilate tried to release Jesus, but the crowd did not give up their argument until the very end. Verse 5. But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." The Greek word for insisted is epistrio, and its literal meaning is to add strength upon strength. If translated into Korean, it means something on the lines of give something their all or try with one's best might. The crowd essentially tried their best to accuse Jesus of inciting people from Galilee to Jerusalem and throughout Israel and disturbing public sentiment. In fact, it was not Jesus who was inciting the people, but the crowd themselves. This is what Pilate did when he heard the word Galilee among the claims of the crowd. Verse 6 to 7. On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. At the time, the Galilee region was ruled by Herod. To be precise, the jurisdiction was under the rule of Herod Antipas, who ordered the decapitation of John the Baptist. At that time, Herod was in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. So Pilate handed over Jesus, which was then like a hot potato, to Herod. Verses 8 to 10. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very happy, for he had heard about him and had long wanted to see him. He also hoped to see him do a miracle. He asked him many questions, but he answered nothing. The chief priests and scribes stood there. He complained vigorously. Herod was very happy to see Jesus because he had longed to see him for a long time. But it was not because he wanted to hear the word of truth from Jesus or because he wanted to know how to gain eternal life. Rather, it was simply out of curiosity. I mentioned in last week's sermon that Apostle Paul's third missionary journey lasted about 4 years, three of which were spent in Ephesus. Many Jews and Greeks heard the gospel of the kingdom of God that Paul preached with all his heart. Furthermore, God allowed amazing miracles to be revealed through Paul. The miracles were so strong that when people took the handkerchief or the apron that Paul was wearing and placed them on the sick person, the illness was cured and the evil spirits were driven out. However, there were Jews in Ephesus who acted as wandering magicians and attempted to cast out demons from the demon-possessed people by misusing the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "I command you through Jesus whom Paul preaches." Among the wandering magicians were the seven sons of the highest priest in the region named Siva. But when the evil spirit pushed them, saying, "I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you?" they ran away without even being able to gather up their clothes. And because of this, many people began to believe in Jesus, and they publicly confessed what they had done. And those who practiced magic also came and gathered their books and burned them, the price of which was as much as 50,000 drachmas, or 137 years worth of wages. People who practice magic means magicians or wizards. At the time, these magicians stimulated people's curiosity by tricking the eye and deceived people into thinking that they knew and could change people's fate. Essentially, they were like fortune tellers and astrologers. However, the Greek Bible describes them as people who meddle with useless matters. This means that not only what they do, but their whole lives are useless. Surprisingly, those people who practice magic as a profession gathered up the magic books that they considered most important and burned all of them in public in front of everyone. These magic books were their most important means of livelihood back then. Nevertheless, they burned them without any hesitation. Since they had confirmed what the kingdom of God was and who Jesus Christ was through the ministry of Apostle Paul and the seven sons of Siva, they could not help but admit that what they had been doing so far was truly useless, and that what they have been doing will not enable them to reach the truth and the life, no less make a living. They also informed those who bought talisman or sought advice from them that such practices were only to meddle with their lives and that all of such practices were meaningless. Even today, many people, regardless of age or gender, and even Christians, seek out fortune tellers and astrologers. One might say that they look to it out of curiosity or just for fun, but that is like giving up your life to futile matters. The reason why Herod was so happy to see Jesus was very simple. At the time, rumors of Jesus performing all kinds of miracles were spreading throughout Israel, so Herod was actually curious to meet Jesus in person and confirm with his own eyes all sorts of magical powers that Jesus was said to possess. But Jesus, standing before Herod, did not perform any of his miracles that Herod had anticipated. When curiosity itself becomes a goal, it only gets in the way of knowing and acknowledging the life and the truth. It is not our curiosity that leads us to the life and the truth, but our wholeheartedness to pursue God. Here, in today's scripture, the chief priests and scribes vehemently accuse Jesus. The Greek word eutonos, translated as vigorously, means extremely soft on the outside, but very organized and meticulous on the inside. It's like the chief priests are coyly smiling on the outside, but saying, "King Herod, don't you know that people like that shouldn't be left alive?" Herod was greatly disappointed when Jesus gave no answer to his questions. If Jesus was a useful person, they would take him to Galilee, imprison him, and listen to his sermons rather than John's. But Herod was angry that Jesus did not say anything. Today's scripture, verses 11 to 12. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Herod and the soldiers looked down on Jesus and mocked him. Ridiculing is like when the unjust judge in Luke chapter 18 ignores a widow who asks for relief, or when a very high-ranking official ignores an individual who has nothing or anything to rely on, or when a person with enormous wealth uses his material wealth to oppress the poor and the weak. Also, mocking is similar to when a huge adult who is about 2 meters tall and weighs over 100 kilograms is bullying and abusing a child who only weighs 20 to 30 kilograms. If Herod Antipas had humbly tried to listen to Jesus, no matter how cruel he was until then, he would have been able to receive the joy and blessing of salvation. However, he had no interest in listening to the words of Jesus, and he was foolish to not want any salvation even after meeting Jesus in person. Herod, just like Pilate, was consumed, fully consumed by his worldly values and desires. Even more, Herod and his soldiers thought that there was no issue in treating Jesus in such a way. So they clothed Jesus in an elegant robe and sent him back to Governor Pilate. Elegant clothes are the clothes worn by kings or the individuals in high official positions. This was an act of publicly humiliating and belittling Jesus because they were not satisfied enough with ridiculing and mocking him in Herod's residence. So while wearing these clothes, Jesus came to be regarded as being like the notorious prisoner Barabbas, who actually caused riots and committed robbery and murder. While Pilate and Herod were rivals and enemies when it came to politics and power, they met eye to eye when it came to the issue of dealing with Jesus. This is because they thought that in bolstering their power and political position, nothing would change even if Jesus was gone. So Herod dressed Jesus in elegant clothes, and Pilate continued the trial with Jesus wearing such clothes. It was clearly meant to belittle and ridicule Jesus in public. But mysteriously, the clothes actually substantiated the presence of Jesus. The book of Revelation is a letter of hope written by Jesus through the Apostle John to encourage Christians who were suffering at the time and to say that an end to all the sufferings will come so that they should be encouraged to keep their faith. Jesus testifies to who he is in the book of Revelations. Revelations chapter 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The word elegant in elegant robes and bright in the bright morning star essentially mean the same thing. One of the famous phrases in the book The Alchemist is the phrase which says, "The darkest hour is just before the sun rises." However, in practice, it is actually said that the darkest time of a given day is actually between midnight and 1 a.m. Before sunrise, that is, at the time of dawn, it becomes actually slightly brighter and not darker. However, it is said that the perceived temperature is the lowest right before sunrise. This is because the inflection point, when the temperature drops overnight and then starts to rise again as the sun rises, is right before sunrise. So the saying that it is darkest before the sunrise may be an expression that emphasizes that the most difficult times come before the good things happen. So when Jesus says, "I am the bright morning star," he is promising suffering Christians that even though their current lives may seem like they are passing through the darkest tunnels and the coldest seasons of their lives, they will eventually claim victory at the end of the day. Herod and Pilate mocked and belittled Jesus by putting him in elegant robes. It seems that Jesus is going through the darkest times and the coldest times as of this hour. However, the fact that Jesus wore such elegant robes is a symbol showing that Jesus will finally break through the mighty death and be resurrected in a brilliant and elegant way. The religious leaders and the group of scribes of Jews illegally arrested Jesus in the middle of the night, interrogated him, and brought him in front of the Sanhedrin council in order to kill him on the cross. And then they sent him to Governor Pilate, who could sentence Jesus to death by crucifixion, and then sent him to Herod. They looked down and belittled and mocked Jesus, and even dressed him in elegant robes just to make fun of him. At this time, no one has taken Jesus' side. Nevertheless, Jesus neither belittled or looked down on others or said anything harsh. Nor did he unleash his Creator's power to defeat them all at once or to bring them to their knees. Rather, Jesus calmly but firmly walked the path given to him in silence. This is because, like the elegant robes that Jesus was wearing, Jesus is the bright morning star. Religious leaders, including Governor Pilate, King Herod, and the high priests, were all the people who followed worldly values and pursued their own desires as if they were God. These were the individuals who trampled life and truth as nothing in order to bolster their own power and their own profits and greed. If we follow the worldly values and regard our desires like they are God, then we are no different from Pilate, Herod, or the religious leaders. Dear all church members, nevertheless, let us renew our values and hopes in Jesus Christ, who called upon us today. Just as Jesus willingly endured being despised, ridiculed, and wore elegant robes in order to abandon his will and obey the will of God the Father, let us closely follow what the Lord has done. When the worldly values tempt us and stirs within us, let us firmly shake our heads and strongly say, no. In this age, when the true life and the truth are considered worthless, and what meets the eye seems to be everything, let us become the Lord's channels and disciples who protect our households, workplaces, churches, and society with the sole purpose of serving the Lord and His Word. And at that time, we will witness more clearly the Lord, who is eternally victorious, clothed in elegant robes, and who is the bright morning star. And the faith and the spirit of the missionaries buried in this Yangwajin Cemetery will be carried on, and this site will be cultivated as the holy landmark of the Korean Church. Let us pray. Dear Father God, the religious leaders, including Governor Pilate, King Herod, and the high priests, treated their desires and the worldly values just as if they were God, and they looked down and belittled on Jesus Christ, who is the eternal life and the truth, and made fun of him and dressed him in elegant robes. In fact, we, just like them, were very attached to the worldly values, and while we doggedly pursued our own desires, we often wore masks in public to pretend otherwise. Nevertheless, we thank you for giving us the mercy to call us again at this time and allowing us to recover and look toward Jesus Christ again, who is the bright morning star. In this age where the waves of the worldly values are flowing wildly this way and that, the values of the darkness are taken for granted and the truth is not considered the truth. Truth, allow us the mercy to become Christians who keep the truth with the Lord to serve you as our goal. Let us protect our households, workplaces, and wherever we are in your name. And let the Yangwajin Foreign Cemetery become the holy landmark of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church. We all pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.